Hello and welcome back to the On Deck Circle podcast. I am one of your handsome hosts or co-hosts. I don't know. I'm fucking up. Nick Zanaboni. You can follow me at nzanaboni93 on Twitter, at nickzee93 on Instagram. Excited to be back. Missed you guys last week. Missed my boys Jason and Dave as well. I got at least one interesting question. I'm trying to think of the other one. So let's get my boy Jason in. Look at that. Bada boom. Nick. Realest guy in the room. How are you?
How's it going? Good. Good. Missed you guys.
Missed you. Question. What is the best sports moment you've seen live? Like sitting in a seat, doing something.
Yeah, I can already, right off the top of my head, already know it. It was, don't quote me on the game or the year, but I want to say it was like 2013 NBA playoffs, Derrick Rose, game winner against Cleveland. I think it was like game three, maybe two. It was even the series against Cleveland.
He was so good. I mean, he is, like, he's good now, but like,
right.
He, like, you were in Chicago. Was it like a huge buzz with him?
Oh yeah. And like, you know, at that time it's like it was the prime of Derrick Rose. You know, we were NBA East contenders, like and then
it's LeBron and him
and to hit a game shot, a game winner right there in that building was just, that was by far my most crazy in-person sports moment. Other thing that might have topped that was 2018 Bears Packers at Soldier Field. Aaron Rodgers throws an interception on the going to be the game tying or game winning drive. And he threw an interception in the end zone. Eddie Jackson was there live too. But I don't think it tops the game three Derrick Rose game winner.
Yeah. Random tangent. Do you remember Jay Williams?
Oh yeah.
I read his book. It's very good.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah. He was one of those same guys, you know, he drafted real high and had a lot of promise. And then, you know, the world comes crashing down for
him. Did you see his tweet that he tweeted when the Celtics hired Udoku as their new coach?
I did not.
He wrote, like, finally the Celtics have an African-American head coach, and they've had, like, seven African-American head coaches. They were, like, Doc won a fucking championship with them.
Yeah.
Bill Russell coached them. Like,
that's a facepalm moment right there.
Yeah. He said he got hacked. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, Dave, come on in, my guy.
Uh-oh. Hey-o!
Hey, there he is.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
All back.
Hello.
Back long time again. No see, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I missed you.
No, you didn't.
Dude, I've been so busy. That's what's killing me right now.
I know. It's all the DFS you've been playing. Staying up late at night, researching target share and snap percentages, and
watching Sunday School on Friday nights.
Watching Sunday School.
Yeah, Sunday School Friday night at 8 o'clock. That's where the money's made right there.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Have you ever been starstruck seeing an actual celebrity in person? That, like, well, when they have that glow around them.
So not quite. But I do have an interesting story. It's not the quickest story in the world, but I'll make it quick. So first things first, I've been in a movie, just so you guys are aware.
Okay.
Oh.
Movie, Dave.
Yeah.
Star Dave over here.
I know. I'm big time. But I'll tell you the story behind the movie real quick. Okay. So I'm at a wedding. I didn't even know the people. It was my girlfriend's, like, some distant cousin or something was getting married. So we took it as an excuse to go out to LA and, you know, spend the week out there and went to this. Yeah. Actually it was, but we went to this fancy ass wedding at some mansion in Hollywood and shit. Right. Well, anyways, we're sitting there getting ready we're waiting for, like, the wedding to get started. We're in our seats and we're just chit chatting or whatever. And off to the side, I see, like, this old guy with, like, this young kid, and in my head, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that kind of looks like the Johnny Knoxville character, you know. That kind of looks like the, you know, like the bad grandpa.
Were you in Jackass?
Yes, I was. So I didn't say anything because I was sitting with three people. Two of them would not even know who that was. So they'd be like, what are you talking about, Jack? Shut up. My girlfriend was in the middle of a conversation with her mom. So I didn't want to interrupt just to say, hey, you know, that kind of looks like somebody. And it almost certainly was not. I didn't necessarily think that it was. I just thought, boy, that really looks like them. That, you know. So anyways, I completely forgot about it. Wedding goes on. After the wedding, this father-daughter that was there that was with our group, if you will, they come out and they're like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened while we were, you know, waiting for the wedding to go on. All of a sudden, this guy like trips and falls into this cake and, you know, it makes in there. There's this, you know, this big scene going on. So I helped him get out of the cake and everything and, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I was like, wow, that's weird. Like, huh, that's really, yeah, the cake is ruined. And, you know, like it was, I can't believe it, you know, whatever. Well, anyways, as he's telling us that story, and this is where I'm in the movie as he's telling this story. So I'm kind of in the background. So I'm not really in the movie, but you can see me if you know where to look. We see Johnny Knoxville taking off and running, you know, out of the mansion and, you know, it taking off and everything. And so anyways, I was like, hey, wait a minute. I'm like, I should have said something. Now no one's going to believe me that I was like, you know, I thought that might have been, but I didn't say anything. So anyways, then they had a meet and greet, you know, that wasn't that long. It was like 10 or 15 minutes. So I didn't waste my time going up. There's a whole group of people that wanted to chit chat and, you know, and so I wasn't even going to probably get anywhere near them. So I didn't waste my time, but I thought it was funny that I kind of put it together a little bit before I actually knew, but I didn't say anything until, you know, after the fact. So,
wow.
So that's the closest I got.
That's like, why are we just hearing about that?
I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it's a cool story. I got tons of cool stories. But
hey, we have a long off season, so we can have story time with Dave.
I have a little story time.
Dave's diary. Boom. Segment. Let's go.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's let Jason get into his hard work here.
Get into the baseball news. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares about baseball?
Let's start off with the Adalberto Mondesi news. He was actually reinstated from the IL earlier this month. However, the speedy infielder will be shifting over to the hot corner instead of his customary shortstop position, which I guess is the biggest news, not him coming back as much. But since coming back from the IL, he's only been getting on base about 20% of the time. However, when he does get on base, he's making the most of his opportunities, as he already has 6 stolen bases in only 9 games. Currently, there's only one third baseman, Jose Ramirez, with more than 15 stolen bases. So with this move to third base for the remainder of 2021, he should be able to gain third base eligibility for, you know, 2022. So I think the biggest interesting thing here is this: how will this affect, you know, his dynasty value with the multi-position eligibility? Is this someone that you'd be targeting as a trade opportunity for third base eligibility, just with the stolen bases alone in that desolate wasteland, and more just the power at third base? You can get a little bit of speed and power with fantasy. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
Hard pass.
I'm tired of hearing about Adalberto Mondesi.
No, that's a hard pass for me, because you know what? Him playing third base doesn't make his OPS or on base percentage finally go over 300.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's still a career 284 on base guy. I mean, mm-hmm. Sure, great, he can steal bases. And I love the fact that at least for next year, you know, you could get him and have third base and shortstop eligibility. And then we'll see where he moves. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but at some point next year, I don't know when, but Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the shortstop on that team. Mm-hmm. So Mondesi may end up getting second base, shortstop, and third base. I don't know, but Adalberto Mondesi is not a guy that I've ever been interested in. And unless he can actually get on base every once in a while, and unless he can, you know, improve that average. I'm never going to be in on him, just ever.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I thought maybe, you know, with the move that third base, people might be more interested in him. But
if he got moved to catcher, then I'm interested.
Yeah, you know exactly, what
I
mean? Like,
right? I could have some interest. I still would probably be low man in the room. I probably would still never actually get him. But you put him at catcher, and I'm interested. Other than that, he can just fuck off.
Yeah, and for all the reasons you said, I mean, the OBP is just, and even the average for that point, have just been abysmal. Yeah, he steals the bases, but at this point, I mean, my third is looking for RBIs and home runs.
Man, he makes Salvador Perez look like, you know, Joey Votto.
Yeah, I mean, can we just take a minute to appreciate Salvador Perez hitting 40 home runs as a catcher? I don't know.
Yeah,
I was talking to somebody about this.
That is nuts.
Just to get off the topic for a quick second, I don't know, maybe you might know, but when was the last time a catcher hit 40 home runs? I went back to like 2010 and no one. I mean, Gary Sanchez had like 34 at one point, but I don't know the last time a catcher hit 40 home runs.
I mean, I'd have to look it up. I know like back in the day, like Mickey Tettleton of the Tigers, you know, he had pretty good power. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was hitting 40 home runs, but, you know, he had
ever hit 40?
Who? I don't know.
Mike Piazza?
No, I looked. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just a quick off-topic note there.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing this about him. He's if your calling card is stealing bases, you're not on my team.
Okay.
That's the only thing he brings to the table.
This is true. I mean, he has had, you know, seasons with some power too, but yeah, I mean, his calling card is the speed. But
well, let me tell you, Nick nailed it. Mike Piazza, 40 home runs in 1997. And 1999.
That was probably the last time a catcher has hit 40 home runs.
I'm on. Yeah, it's only happened four times. There's one other. Oh, I'm sorry. It has happened more than four times.
He's never hit 40?
So here, I'll run you through the list in order. So Sal Perez this year, of course. Like I said, Piazza, 97, 99, 40 on the dot. Johnny Bench hit 40 in 72. So here's an interesting one. Todd Hundley.
Oh,
he hit 41 in 96. Roy Campanella, he hit 41 in 1953. Javi Lopez hit 43 for the Braves in 2003. And then the all-time leader and catcher for home runs, 1970, once again, Mr. Johnny Bench. So he is one of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players to have done it. Wow. And the season still has some time to go, so one more home run puts him in a tie for third, you know. So
let's get him to 50.
Yeah, he's not getting to 50. I mean, if I tell you what, I already own Salvador Perez in a couple places. I traded him in, one of these 30 teamers I was in, and the other league I own him in, I fully intend I will be selling him high this offseason.
Absolutely.
Again, dude does not get on base. Puppet. Yeah, some home runs is fantastic, and, you know, obviously from a position that you don't expect offense from, it's great, but I'm going to sell high because he's not young. He's probably never hitting 40 again. I'll take the opportunity to sell high on him, or even if I just get equal value, I mean, whatever, but I'll be selling him.
Yep, I agree. A little off topic there, but love it. Love it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of selling on people, Jason, why don't you get to the next guy?
Get into the next one here. The former top pitching prospect and former first round pick, Nate Pearson, has had his fair shares of up and down so far in his young career.
More downs, man. He's had his share of downs.
This is very true. And again, unfortunately, this time it's another down. He was recalled from AAA. Earlier, like last week, I think, and unfortunately, this time he will not be joining the rotation. Instead, he'll be solely out of the pen for the remainder of 2021. When you look at Nate Pearson's stats solely as a starter, there's a lot more to be desired. Since his debut in 2020, Pearson's appeared in 5 games. I think, don't quote me, but I think that might be 5 starts. Anyways, he's 0-1 with a 7.23 ERA, with a 1.82 WHIP, and he's got a 14-17 strikeout to walk ratio.
Yeah, those walks are out of hand.
Yeah, so I mean, what are your guys' thoughts going forward? Does he ever resolve his command issues? Seems like when he goes down to AAA, he dominates, comes up to major leagues, and he can't throw strikes. Does he ever live up to the expectations, and does he ever become that front end rotation that everybody thought he may become?
Well, I mean, so what's funny was, you know, not that long ago, I mean, Alek Manoah was an afterthought, you know, to Nate Pearson, and now they're not even in the same stratosphere as each other. You know, I mean, Manoah is absolutely just dominating, and Pearson, you know, can't throw strikes. I mean, right. We don't have a huge sample size, you know, from him. Let me see. Career innings. Yeah. 25 in the third career innings. Yep. So, you know, he goes out and throws, you know, theoretically, he goes out and throws 2 7 inning shutouts, and all of a sudden his numbers are drastically improved. But in his career, he almost has as many walks as strikeouts. He's 20 walks to 23 strikeouts. And that's just not going to get it done anywhere. I mean, you know, that's not a good mop-up guy in the fifth inning when you're down 8-0, you know?
Right.
So, you know, his minor league stats, you know, whoopee-doo, you know? I don't care what his minor league stats are. When he gets up to the big league level, he has not been able to, you know, to produce good results. And obviously he's been injured as much as he's been anything, you know? I mean, the guy hasn't even been able to get on the mound. Mm-hmm. So, I guess for me, your best chance is that you hold out hope that he's just never really been healthy, and given the opportunity, you know, maybe if he has an off season this year where he's healthy and he can get on track, and, you know, maybe we can start to see the good Pearson that we've wanted to see in 2022. But at this point, you know, I'd have to say chalk him up to, you know, your typical, you know, pitching prospect, the guy that's always hurt and, you know, doesn't pan out. So if you believe that it's been injury related, by all means, use the offseason to poke around and see what you can, you know, give up potentially to get him. But if you own him, you're probably not selling him because, you know, what are you going to get? You know, a couple used bags of balls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the perfect time to sell him is going to be
2 years ago?
February, March, once you get those reports out of spring training where it's like Pearson's hitting 103 on the gun.
Best shape of his life.
Yeah. Best shape of his life. He's figured out his control.
Yeah, the pitching coach, they've got a new fastball grip, and
he brought in a guru.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the bullpen could be a really good place for him. Like, realistically, his stuff could work well there. He just needs to figure it out. Because he's not close to not having a job because he's so young.
Yeah, he's got a lot of rope for sure. I mean, absolutely. But
he needs to figure it out within the next 2 years or people are just going to cut their loss.
Yeah, I mean, he's always had the high K upside. It's just, yeah, when he gets to the majors, for whatever reason, he cannot find the strike zone. So it's kind of disappointing. But I actually did sell him earlier this year, so I got lucky. But that's another point.
Well, let's get to a guy on the opposite end of that spectrum, huh?
Absolutely. This one's kind of a hot topic, it seems like, this year. But the ninth overall pick in the 2020 by the Colorado Rockies, Zach Veen, has had himself quite the season for their single-A affiliate. In his first 101 games, the 19-year-old's currently slashing .303, .402, slugging .509. He's got 15 home runs, 79 runs, 74 RBIs, and 36 stolen bases. He also recently hit for the cycle, and the home run was actually grand slam in that game. So, I mean, Dave, I know you have him ranked 234 in your most recent rankings, and, you know, he's kind of a hot commodity now. He's kind of showing what he can do. He's still young, only 19, but I know obviously his dynasty value is through the roof right now, but is this guy a top 10 outfield prospect in 2022?
Well, I'll tell you what, I forgot all about that I do dynasty baseball rankings. it's DFS season. You said dynasty baseball rankings. I'm like, oh shit, you're right. I do those, don't I? Let's see. I've got him.
What is his money value?
Oh boy, so here's a funny one. I've got him at 234. Mm-hmm. I've got Nate Pearson at 236. So I've granted, when was this updated? This was updated like 6 weeks ago. I've got him actually right next to, and this might be a sore spot for Nick a little bit, but I've got him right next to Kyle Schwarber. in my in my rankings, but
that's fine.
I think he's due for a little bit of a bump there. So I think my concern is probably the same as everybody else's concern. So Nick, you want to take a stab at my concern with Zach Veen?
What team does he play for, Dave?
He plays for the Rockies.
So we're going to see him in about 10 years?
You know, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, we've seen this just on repeat with Rockies just never giving anyone, you know, the opportunity. And then when they get the opportunity at the big league level, then they just, you know, I wouldn't say bench him, but, you know, he doesn't, they don't get the opportunity that you would expect. The other thing that I'll say that concerns me is what, Jason? What's the other thing I always say about people in his situation?
Low minors.
He's in low A. So it's fantastic. I mean, yes, I'd much rather he had a 400 on base percentage. I'd much rather he was hitting 303. I'd much rather he had 36 steals and 15 home runs. But he's doing it against low A. Now, of course, it's a little more age appropriate for him than sometimes it is for others. You know, he's 19 right now. Won't turn 20 till the offseason. So it's not like he's 21, 22 out there against these kids. But again, in low A, those pitchers typically aren't very good at throwing strikes. So it's not that hard to get steals, especially. The stolen bases you see for Zach Veen, to me, you throw them right out the window. They don't mean anything to me. The on-base percentage doesn't really mean a whole lot because it's not hard to get on base in those leagues. Just a patient approach at the plate, and I could have a 300 on base percentage in low A just by, you know, we laugh, but it's not that ridiculous. You know, 300 batting average, you know, that you should expect that in low A from him. He's got a great hit tool. So everything we're seeing from him is what we need to see and what we want to see from him. But it does not mean that at the big league level, he's going to hit 300, get on base at a 400 clip, have, you know, 50, 60 steal seasons. It just means that he's doing what we need and expect to see him do. And when we get him up to double A, which might be 8 years from now, but when we get him up to double A, that's when we want to see these stats start to transition into something where we can go, okay, he's now facing guys that know how to pitch for a living, are decent at it. Let's see what he does. And then we get up to triple A, and then, you know, and then we keep working our way up. But when we see this at double A, that's when I get really excited. I don't own Zach Veen anywhere. If I did, I don't have him anywhere. No, I don't touch Rockies. I don't touch pitchers. If I had him, I would make a very strong case to sell high on him. It doesn't mean that I don't like the kid, and it doesn't mean that I don't think that he could be a perennial all-star. I'll just take my chances that that's not going to be what he does for a myriad of reasons.
I mean, you literally just said everything. He's on the rock.
Yeah.
It's tough because he seems like a good kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, but yeah, I mean, give me the guys that are around him in my rankings, you know, over him. Like, I mean, I got Pico Armstrong, who we just talked about, you know, here recently a few different times. I've actually got him seven spots behind Veen. And I think that in a dynasty league to, you know, just about everyone, I think Zach Veen would be the no doubt pick there. I think I would just prefer Pico Armstrong. What else do I got around him? Without scrolling too far, I mean, those are the guys. I mean, Brandon Marsh is in his territory. I'll take Brandon Marsh, but he's not really a quote unquote prospect, that, you know, but at this point. But yeah, those are my fears with him. So we'll see what happens. I wish him the best. I really hope that he breaks the mold and he's the guy that the Rockies treat like a normal prospect. And, you know, because you put that kid with his potential in that ballpark, and all of a sudden, yeah, you've got a, you know, you've got a Charlie Blackman kind of, you know, kind of player.
Yeah. Get someone like Blackman on the Rockies. It took him, I don't know, I'm trying to look up, you know, when he finally broke out, but it had to have been like his late 20s, and he was on the radar as a top prospect in that organization as an outfielder for a while.
Yeah, but yeah. For Zach Veen, I'd rather see him in the Cardinals system, and then he plays 2 years in the big leagues, and then he gets traded to the Rockies. Now we Now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're talking. Now give me some Zach Veen. But don't put him in the Rockies organization to start with, you know.
Yeah, free Veen, right?
Yeah, free Veen. So what do we got next, Jason?
I put this one in here specifically because I know Nick loves to talk about not only one Yankees prospects, but two pitchers.
Yeah, we love pitchers, and we love the Yankees on this podcast.
Right. Yeah, the Yankees' fifth-ranked prospect, Clark Schmidt, had suffered an elbow strain back in spring training, which has caused him to miss a majority of this season. However, during his rehab assignment, he pitched well as he did not allow more than two earned runs in any outing, and he had 34 Ks in 27 innings pitched. However, his first start of the year for the Yankees this year was a forgettable one as he gave up 5 runs on 7 hits, and he surrendered 3 walks and only struck out 2 guys. You know, it's a small sample size for Schmidt, but in his 4 appearances at the major league level, he struggled to the tune of 5.91 ERA, 2.06 WHIP, and only a 9-8 strikeout to walk ratio. Again, I think you may have forgot, but Dave, you have Clark ranked as your 436th dynasty player.
I know that now because I was looking up while you were talking. So yeah.
And I know that, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but we all kind of have that same outlook on pitching prospects. And this is just another example, you know, why you shouldn't put too much of your money into pitching prospects. But, you know, what are your expectations for Clark, who was eventually at one point the top pitching prospect in that organization and still is? Is this someone that you're fading? Is it a good buy low opportunity? Nick, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to surprise you guys here.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Clark Schmidt sucks.
No.
I thought he was going to. Oh boy.
The old reverse psychology.
Yeah.
It's like in The Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not going anywhere. Clark Schmidt sucks.
You got to stay on brand, though, Nick. I would hope that even if Clark Schmidt was like
my uncle.
If he was your uncle, I would still hope that you'd be like, man, fuck Clark Schmidt.
Yeah. Good take. Yeah. That's what I thought it would be.
Oh, okay.
That's my take.
Fair enough.
Pitcher. He's a Yankee. I can't wait for Devers to take him deep.
So, I mean, I used to own Clark Schmidt in some dynasty, and you know, I mean, to be dead honest with you, and I've kind of talked about this before. I don't remember what we were talking about, but I was talking about, like, you know, there's a Red Sox and a Yankees and like a Cubs tax on people to where their values get inflated a little bit. So in a first year player draft, I took Clark Schmidt. I didn't take Clark Schmidt because I technically wanted him on my team. I took Clark Schmidt because there was nobody in that spot that I was in love with. And I thought, you know what, let me take Clark Schmidt and let me hold on to him for a little while. And there's a couple Yankees guys in this league. They're going to eventually want him. So I'll just hold tight with him for a little while until I can dump him off. And that's what I did. But, you know, I guess I mean, it's tough. I don't know exactly, you know, what to make of Clark Schmidt or what he's going to do or not going to do because, you know, with pitching prospects, it's so hard. You know, you just never quite know what you're going to get. So let me instead talk about the situation that he's in and, you know, how, and let me just offer some advice. So if I'm going to be trading for a pitcher, specifically a young pitcher, a prospect, I would much rather do so in a situation like, I don't even want to say Alek Manoah because he's been around for a little too long, but I'd rather would trade for Alek Manoah after he's came up and made like 3 or 4 starts and he's done really, really well. And I'd rather pay $1.20, you know, you know, on him when I could have maybe gotten him for $1 because that's a lot safer to me. Whereas I don't want to touch guys like, for example, you know, me, I don't know, you guys may or may not even know who this is, but Eric Pardino from the Blue Jays as well. Okay.
He's Tommy John.
Yeah, he's had Tommy John. Yeah. He's a guy that I have absolutely loved ever since he was, 16, pitching in the World Baseball Classic. I've absolutely loved him, but I don't want to own him anywhere because as much as I love him, he's so far away that I'm just afraid that, you know, he's not going to work out. So I would rather not pay 75 cents on the dollar for him, but I'll pay $1.25 on a dollar for Manoah. Because to me, that's a lot more of a sure thing. So
more proven.
Exactly. So I don't mind young pitchers necessarily, but I want to have seen that they will be successful. Clark, you know, if he were to come up this year, I know it's not going to happen, but if he were to come up and he, let's say he had four starts and he pitched well in three of those starts, I don't mind. I don't even mind paying a buy high price on him or on somebody in that situation if I can be a little more confident in him. So that's what I will take away from the Clark Schmidt news and what, you know, my theories on that. Now, a hitter, on the other hand, I'm the other way around. You know, I want to get a guy like a Zach Veen now. If that was a guy I want him now, because once he does get called up eventually, now I don't want to pay $1.25 for him because I can get so many guys for the regular value. I can get Pico Armstrong right now probably for 90 cents on the dollar. Well, I would rather have that than, you know, pay for Adolis Garcia when he gets called up and all of a sudden, you know, you pay $1.50 for him and you still don't know what you're going to get, you know? So I don't know. No, we like to go off topic today.
Yeah, but that's nailed it on the head. Pay, if you're going to overpay, at least you know you're getting what you're paying for. So,
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you know, I would overpay for Brandon Woodruff right now. That's cool. Right. I'd overpay for Julio Urias right now. Cool with me, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's about the only way we're going to go that route. So, Nick, it's your favorite time, my friend.
Down on the farm.
It's been too long since.
I know.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Speaking of good, Jason, I think you've got the down on the farm this week, and you've got a Baltimore Oriole here you want to discuss that. It's got a name that makes me hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Kobe Mayo, the third base prospect in the Orioles organization. He bats and throws right-handed. He was the fourth overall pick in 2020. He's a big-framed right-hander, 6'5", 215. Got a ton of raw power. Slowly kind of, you know, turning it into some game power, but still only 19 years old. He's still got some time to develop, but he does project as a middle-of-the-order bat, maybe a little bit lower in the order, but And then right now he's third base, but, you know, I feel like he probably eventually moves to an outfield spot. He's kind of big for third base, but, so far in his first 47 games, he's slashing .318, .425, and slugging .555. He's got 8 home runs, 34 RBIs and 41 runs, and he's even got 10 stolen bases. Again, low A, so nothing to get too excited about the stolen bases, but, can't really count on that. He is pull heavy at times, but he does have a 27% home run to fly ball rate. And just, again, he's still young and raw, but, you know, I'm interested to see if he can continue to hit for a high average to go along with the raw power that should eventually turn into game power as he's, you know, he's a big guy. So that's kind of my take on him.
Well, Dick, I don't want to take all the words out of your mouth. So I will let you go first, and then I will go after that.
What division is this guy playing?
I think it's the AL East. I'm not for certain.
I actually know who he is, which is going to be a surprise.
Yeah. He stole his last base?
Oh, good question.
hold up.
Right. I'm cheating.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's going to be August 15th, about a month ago. But
is that real?
No, I have no idea.
I was like, you surprised us last time with that stolen base question. So.
Yeah.
And the Mike Piazza. On fire.
Yeah, Mike Piazza was a nice call.
Yeah. He's fine. I don't know. I don't think he's not going to be a league winner for anybody, but he's good. He's no Nick York.
No, he's definitely no Nick York. Boy, you talk about polar opposite kind of players. You got him, man. He is no Nick York.
Yeah.
You know who he does remind me of? He reminds me of Pat Burrell.
Pat the Bat?
Yeah, Pat Burrell kind of what he reminds me of. I mean, this kid, his Twitter handle is his name. He's got Ox in the end of it, which I don't know if it's just because he put an X on the end of it or if he's, you know, calling himself like an ox, but I mean, I I guess I'll be honest with you, I wasn't entirely listening to Jason's whole thing there, but he's 6'5", 215, and, you know, he's only 19, so he's got – yeah, so he's a big boy. And, I mean, the power's there, obviously. I mean, even if it's just because he's huge. But the kid's got a hell of an arm. So as much as I would say, you know, a profile like his, which, you know, if you think about it, I feel like that's kind of what a lot of Orioles players turn into, are just big guys that can hit and, you know, can't really do a whole lot else. But if it wasn't for that arm, I would say he's no doubt a first baseman. But his arm is just too good. His arm says, you know, put me at third base. I don't know how well he's going to hit. I definitely know that, you know, he's not going to be getting on base at a 440 clip. Or, well, I guess it's on the season he's at a 425. Either way, you can take 100 points off that. And he's not going to bat 318. You can probably take a good 60 points off of that. But, you know, the power is going to be for real once he gets there. I don't think that the run is going to be there. I think, you know, if he got a handful of stolen bases, I feel like you'd be pretty happy with that. So again, when we start looking at, you know, a bunch of stats, you know, half his games are on rookie ball, half his games are in low A, you know, these are the kind of things you expect. You're going to get a lot of steals that don't really exist. You're going to get a super inflated on base percentage. You know, the home runs are still kind of for real. But all those other numbers become extraordinarily inflated. So, I mean, he's in the right ballpark. Probably, you know, a right fielder would be, you know, my assumption. Right fielder, maybe third base. It just kind of depends on – he's a big boy, you know, so kind of depends on what's better. Hey, you know, his mobility out in the outfield, or his, you know, his glove to stick at third base. Or maybe he can't do either, and you kind of have to waste that arm at first base. If he's hitting 30 home runs and he's giving you a decent on base and a decent average, that'll play. We'll have to see. I don't have super high expectations for a guy like him, because he really does need a lot to go right. And that bat is one of them. Like, he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to give you enough defensive value that, you know, he can hit 15, 20 home runs with a, you know, whatever average, whatever on base percentage, and not steal your bags. He's got to smash the ball. So wouldn't be super high on him, but, you know, he's got the potential, at least, you know, to do something.
Maybe Bobby Dalbec.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like at this point, I don't know if he, I mean, God, I don't even know. I don't even think I have him ranked, guys. Let me look.
Who, Kobe?
Yeah. He's not even ranked for me. So, if he turned into Bobby Dalbec, I guess that'd be, pun intended, I guess that'd be a home run. Hey-o! I'm back!
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I've never been super high on the guy, so we'll see once he does. Like we said before, we'll see what he does when we get to Double-A and above, and then we'll find out a little bit more about him. But I Goody's not got a 250 on base percentage and, you know, not doing anything. So, you know, this is what you'd want to see from him. He's age appropriate for the level. You know, like I said, same age as Zach Veen. As a matter of fact, I have to go back and look at Zach Veen's birth date, but I know they both have a birth date in December, and his is on the 10th. And I don't remember what Veen's just was, but they might be born on the same freaking day. They might be. I can't remember what's he. I looked it up real quick when I was looking to see when he turned 20, and it was December something. They might be the same. Well, God, now I want to look real quick. No, I'm really curious. It'd be crazy if they had the same birthday. They're 2 days apart?
2 days older.
Ah, well, there you go. Maybe so
12.
Yeah, so close. So close. I thought they were close, though.
Yeah, that is really close.
All right, gents. Well, it was absolutely fantastic. What I missed more than anything was I couldn't wait for Nick's question. That's becoming like my favorite thing. Good. Is I don't know what he's going to ask me, and I'm ready to answer it. Agreed. So
I do have another question.
Save it for next week, motherfucker.
No, it has to do with what we just talked about. Do you guys know the Pat the Bat stories?
No.
No, I don't.
Okay. As soon as we get off, I need you to just Google Pat the Bat stories and then text me within the next 10 minutes.
So, first of all, whenever I get off is my own business. All right. Let me just start with that. So, and I'm definitely not going to get off the Pat the Bat stories
that you're about to read. Pat the Bat Burrell. My God. They are so funny and so good.
I'll tell you what. Maybe tomorrow you text me and remind me to look up Pat the Bat, but my evening plans are already made, sir.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, we will see everybody next week. If you're watching us live, I appreciate it. Next time, throw some comments in there. Give us something live to react to. We definitely would appreciate that. If you're just listening to a replay, that's cool too. We will catch you next week. Thank you.